Father, we continue to worship you this morning by coming before you as your children, presenting our needs. Your word reminds us to ask you what we need. And Father, we are very grateful first. We're grateful that we can call ourselves your children. We say thank you, God, for the price that you paid to allow our sins to be forgiven, to allow us to be reconciled back to you. Thank you, God, for that. And you bless us every day, Father. You give us things we don't deserve. We get to hold on to things we didn't work for. And we just say thank you, God. But we come to you, Father, and we do have needs. And the very first thing I want to do is say thank you, God. Thank you for Joanna's great-granddaughter. After much concern about what was going on with her, she has returned home from the hospital. I pray, God, for 100% recovery. Father, that if she's home, you will continue to heal her body. You will be with her family. They will encourage her, God, and that she would have a complete healing. So we thank you, God, that she's home. And then, Father, for April's friend, Lois, who's in rehab because she had a terrible fall, hit her head, caused a brain bleed. Very serious, and she now is in rehab recovering. I pray, God, for a full recovery. I ask, God, that if April gets a chance to interact with her, that April could be your representative to her. So I give her to you, God. I give Lois to you and pray that she would again, as others we're going to pray for, have a complete healing. And then always, Lord, we lift up our sister Joy to you. We are grateful that Joy lives with people like Sheila and Ted, people who love her, care for her, sacrifice for her. And I pray, God, for her that she could be back to her program soon, maybe this week. And in doing so, God, that it would both enhance Joy's life and give Sheila and Ted a chance to get some other things done. So we give you Joy, God. We thank you for her presence when she's here. She just adds a level of love and excitement and friendliness as she walks around the sanctuary with her big smile. So I give it to you, God, and pray that you'll be with Sheila and Ted as they continue to minister to her. And then, Father, for our friends at Essex Park, I pray for Susie, who's just asked for her health to be improved, maybe so she could go home. So I give you Susie, God. Maybe she's listening today. I also give you Arnie, Father, who wants to pray for his mom's health and also be with his mom at the passing of his father. Be with her in her grief, God. I pray for Arnie and ask, God, that he could sense your presence and he could know that you are with him. And then for Kathy Bouchard, one of our own family members, I pray, God, for her October 2nd consult. This will let her know whether she can go forward with a particular procedure. I pray, God, that your will would be done. Because I know that's all Kathy wants. It'd be easy to say we want permission for the procedure, but Father, what we really want is your will. So we pray in agreement with Kathy for your will to be done on that October 2nd meeting. And then for Pastor Schmeck down in Kenya, our sister church in Kenya, I pray for my brother. I pray as he raises 14 or 15 orphans, he's brought them into his home, feeds them, clothes them, gets them off to school every day, and at the same time, pastors a congregation. I pray for him, God, that he would be filled with your Holy Spirit. I pray for him, God, that we here, his sister church, could continue to do anything we can to help him. And I pray for Rick as he prepares to go to Kenya to help out. So be in that situation, God. For Pastor Mike's brother, Paul, we know he's been told he has terminal cancer. And we believe the doctors are correct, That's what the body, his body is telling them. But we also know, God, that we pray to the great physician. A physician who could turn that cancer around and heal it. And that's what we ask for, God. We ask for miraculous healing. I do pray you be with him during these days, that he would be comfortable and pain-free. But Father, we pray here that he would be healed. And then, Father, for our thousands of missionaries across the world, ministering in places that are dangerous, that their own families and their lives are at risk, and they're doing it to get the gospel of Jesus Christ out to people who haven't heard. Protect our missionaries, God, I pray. Be with them, Father. May we do our best to support them in any way we can. Father, we are grateful. We have lots of needs. But I pray, God, that our needs would never override our gratefulness, that we would always be a grateful people. Grateful because what you have done for us and in us, we pray that you would work through us, God, and the people around us would sense your love because we would love them. So be with us, God, for the rest of the service. Be with Della as she prepares to bring your message. I pray, God, you would anoint her with your Holy Spirit and that we would hear from you this morning. So thank you, God, for this time that we call corporate worship. I pray, God, that it would please you what you hear and see this morning. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Good morning. Our reading today is 3 John. To my dear friend Gaius, whom I love in the truth, dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that may all go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well. It gave me great joy when some of the believers came and testified about your faithfulness to the truth, telling how you continue to walk in it. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Dear friend, you are faithful in what you are doing for the brothers and sisters, even though they're strangers to you. They have told the church about your love. Please send them on their way in a manner that honors God. It was for the sake of the name that they went out, receiving no help from pagans. We ought therefore to show hospitality to such people so that they may work together in the truth. I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to be first, will not welcome us. So when I come, I will call attention to what he's doing, spreading malicious nonsense about us. Not satisfied that he even refuses to welcome other believers. He also stops those who want to do so and puts them out of the church. Dear friends, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. Anyone who does what is good is from God. Anyone who does what is evil has not seen God. Demetrius is well spoken by everyone. And even by truth itself, we also speak well of him, and you know that our testimony is true. I have much to write you, but I do not want to do so with pen and ink. I hope to see you soon, and we will talk face to face. Peace to you. The friends here send their greetings. Greet friends there by name. Father, at this time, we have a special testimony from Rick McDonald, and I'd like to invite him up.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning to everyone at home, and good morning to everyone at Essex Park. This isn't a personal testimony. This is a testimony of what God and the Holy Spirit has put in my heart. For the past 6 or 7 years, I've done other mission work, which I love. My inspiration for this trip, most of you have seen the flyers, comes from a reverend that spoke at Mission Assembly. And during the pandemic, when we got through that, I felt like I was asleep in regards to mission work and the stuff that I was doing. And he was speaking, and all he kept saying was to wake up. Stop talking about things, go and do it. And he was from Mozambique, so I kind of thought maybe I was to Africa. And as I kept thinking about it, listening to God talk to me about it, I realized Pastor Gene was streaming with the Pastor Schmeck over in Kenya. And the more I prayed on, the more I thought, I felt God was just pushing me, because as he said, there's about 14 or 15 orphans, ages 3 to 16. What better place to go than to try to make life a little better for others that don't have the opportunities that we have? So as you've seen on the flyer, I'm looking for help. But most importantly, the first sentence says prayers. I would love everyone's prayers to pray that it's a safe trip and that I can accomplish what I need to accomplish to help them make life easier. So thank you.
Good morning. So Rick referenced a flyer. There are some of these out in the NorthX. That's what he was referencing for the ones that maybe don't know what that is. So this morning I want to welcome you all that are here in the sanctuary, but I also want to welcome all of you, our extended family, who are out there watching online. That includes Essex Park, who are with Joe and Peter this morning. This morning, we're going to be looking at 3 John, which Sheila read for us. Thank you. We talked last week, or Pastor Gene talked last week, about inviting those who speak the truth, right? Not the Gnostics. Make sure you be very cautious about not inviting false teachers into your home. Now we're going to talk about inviting people. Actually, it's commending Gaius about inviting people into his home and welcoming, you know, missionaries and supporting God's work. So let's break it down, all right? We're going to talk about setting the stage, and we're talking about John, who is writing to Gaius, who is a prominent Christian of the church and the churches that John knows, right? The purpose is to commend Gaius for his hospitality and encouraging him in his Christian life. The time frame that this was written was 85 to 90 AD. The place was in Ephesus. The setting is that church leaders used to travel from town to town helping establish new congregations. They depended on the hospitality of fellow believers. Gaius was one who welcomed those leaders into his home. One of the key verses we're going to be looking at today and really taking notice to is, dear friends, you are being faithful to God when you care for traveling teachers who pass through even though they are strangers to you. The key people we'll be looking at is John, Gaius, Diotrephes, and Demetrius. John is the elder of the church, and he's writing the letter. Gaius is receiving the letter, and he is being commended for his hosting of traveling teachers and missionaries. Diotrephes, on the other hand, is prideful. He's a controlling leader in the church who refuses to have anything to do with other leaders. He slanders those leaders, and he is a bad example and refuses to welcome teachers that are attending. And then he also, those who do welcome teachers, he excommunicates them because they oppose his leadership. Demetrius is unknown. Like, we just know that, we believe that he is carrying the letter from John to Gaius. John speaks of his character, that he is a godly example of other believers. This ensures Gaius that he can be comfortable to welcome him into his home. One of the most effective ways that we can show God's value and Christ's love to others is to invite and welcome them as guests into our home, our sanctuary, our private places. So I'd like to thank Jim and Denise for having the ice cream social last week and inviting us into your home. That's really something very special. I also want to take a moment and thank Essex Park for allowing us to visit them in their place of home where they're staying every Sunday morning. So here's where we break it down. Sheila read the whole scripture for us, 3 John. We're going to look at 3 John 1, which is the greeting. And that's where John says, I am writing to Gaius, my dear friend who I love in the truth. Or you can also see in other translations, it may say, to the beloved Gaius, whom I love. So as I said, this letter is from John, the elder of the church, and he's writing to Gaius, and he's commending him for what he's been doing. Now, Gaius is a very common name during this time, so we're not able to actually identify who he is, but what we do know is that John speaks very highly of him, and that he's a prominent Christian who John knows. We go into John 1:2, which shows that John has concern for Gaius. He's talking about his physical health, okay? He is comparing it to his spiritual well-being. So he says, dear friend, I hope all is well with you and you are as healthy in body as you are in spirit. God has a concern about our bodies and our souls. We as responsible Christians, we need to not neglect or overindulge ourselves so that we can care for our physical needs. And it's we need to be disciplined in our bodies so that we can be our very best so we can service God. As well as care for our well-being, right, our spiritual well-being. So I ask you, are you healthy in body? Are you strong in spirit? Are you at your very best so you can service God? Some things that we need to really pay attention to ensure that we are at our best is to take care of our physical health. Some things that are very basic, like getting good sleep, getting rest, using proper nourishment and fueling our bodies properly, getting exercise, which gives us endurance and strength. What about our spiritual health? First and foremost, be in the Word to gain knowledge and guidance from God. This world is so chaotic and loud and noisy. We need to take time and just meditate. Spend some quiet time with God. Do you do that? How do you do that? Do you go to the beach? Do you go taking pictures somewhere? How do you spend quiet time and shut down the noise of this world? We must be in prayer, connecting with the Lord and building our relationship. And this is not a one-way communication. It's a two-way communication. So that quiet time, being quiet with the Lord, not always just sending up requests, but also listening to what he wants from you and from your life. How about showing gratitude, right? We should be grateful for what we have and not what we don't have. Being in this present, in this time, in this place, and be present in front of God. Not worrying about the past, should learn from it, but we shouldn't worry about it. Don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Matthew 6:34. Just think about what you're doing today and what God is calling you to. We look at John 1:3-4. Some of the traveling teachers recently returned and made me very happy by telling me about your faithfulness and your living according to the truth. I could have no greater joy than to hear my children are following the truth. God calls these believers his children because they are the result of his preaching. He is a spiritual father to many of them, including Gaius, who, as we talked about, honors him. What an honor when you teach something or you preach something and you see people actually do it. That's amazing. And I can tell you, it speaks to my heart. John 1:5-6. Dear friends, you are being faithful to God when you care for traveling teachers who pass through, even those that are strangers to you. They have told the church here of your loving friendship. Please continue to support such teachers in a manner that pleases God, for they are travelers for the Lord. What we see here is John writing a personal letter to affirm and thank Gaius and his Christian lifestyle, to encourage him in his faith. He has good spiritual habits, and his reputation was about being friendship and generosity, especially to the traveling teachers and missionaries. So we're going to talk a little bit about what Rick was talking about this morning, and that was the Kenyan church. It was about a year ago, 13 months ago, that Pastor Schmeck was watching our service online, and he reached out to Pastor Gene and said, "Do you have a Sunday school class that I could get involved in?" And at that time, we happened to be having the discipleship class. So he joined us via Zoom from Kenya. Through conversation, we realized what his needs were. So our church was able to, through a little bit of effort on, I think it was Yvette, Jean, and April, to supply them with Bibles in their dialect. Our church also was able to supply food and shoes for the children that are there. I think recently just built a latrine because they were going to shut down the whole thing if they didn't have a bathroom. So we were able to help with that. I believe Pastor Gene and Pastor Schmeck communicate on a regular basis now. And we're basically, like you said, they're our sister church. We have adopted and support each other. So we have our own example here, right here in our church, where in the winter of 2024, Pastor Schmeck and his family will welcome Rick into their home. Rick will stay with them in Kenya. In return, he'll build, I believe the plan is, a chicken coop, bunk beds, and paint that latrine, and anything else that they need. Now, we're worlds apart. Is Rick a stranger to Pastor Schmeck? Yeah. When he's there, is he responsible for teaching and loving on those children? Yeah. Now then, does it take a little bit of courage to go from here to Kenya? Yeah. I don't see me wanting to do that anytime soon, but God bless you, Rick. I wish you nothing but the best. So as Rick was able to share his testimony this morning, I'm sure that if you sat down and talked to him, he would tell you much more. So please, feel free to do that. When we look at 3 John 8, it says, "So we ourselves should support them so that we can be partners in their teaching of the truth." When we help someone who is spreading the good news or going out and doing missions, we are partnering in their mission. So I may not want to go to Africa, but do I want to support Rick? Yeah, I do. How am I going to do that? First and foremost, I am going to pray. And then whatever God tells me to do from there on out, I will do. So we see back in Gaius's time that he was being honorable to God. And we even see it today with Pastor Schmeck welcoming Rick to his home. Now, let's just take a minute and let's look on the other side of that letter. Now we're going to direct our attention to Diotrephes. It's in 3 John 9-10 that it says, "I wrote to the church about this, but Diotrephes, who loves to be a leader, refuses to have anything to do with us. When I come, I will report some of the things he is doing and the evil accusations that he is making against us. Not only does he refuse to welcome travelers and teachers, but he also tells others not to help them. And when they do, he puts them out of the church. If you ask me, Diotrephes has a pride issue. He wants to control the church. John denounces him. He refuses, his refusal to have anything to do with other spiritual leaders is a problem. We learn from each other. We support each other. That's not what he's doing. He slanders other leaders. That's not accepted. He's a bad example because he doesn't welcome the teachers. In that time, that was how they survived. He tries to excommunicate those who oppose his leadership. Excommunication means to exclude somebody from participating in sacraments and service to the Christian church. Do we have a right to do that? Isn't God the one that does that, tells us what to do? Now, like if they're false teachers, right, we would expect Gene to do that. Notice how I said Gene, right? He is our leader. He is the one that makes the decisions like that, not just one of us. Sins such as pride, jealousy, slander are still present in the church today. We as leaders cannot encourage sin. We need to discourage ungodly actions. And if we do not, great harm comes to the church. We must confront it. And if it is ignored, it will grow. And as we're going through this transition, that's something we really have to guard against, right? We need to stay unified and not disunified. It's extremely important. In 3 John 11:12, dear friends, do not let bad examples influence you. Follow only what is good. Remember, those who do evil prove that they do not know God. Everyone speaks highly of Demetrius, as does the truth itself. We ourselves can say the same for him, and you know we speak the truth. So the believers of the church in that time believed in these leaders, believed in John, right? Not like Diotrephes. They didn't believe in what he was saying. They knew to believe John when he was speaking. And it's by our example, it's by the things that we do, that it makes all the difference in what people see and who we are. A true Christian leader is a servant of God and should be more like Gaius and Demetrius. How about you? Who are you like? Are you like Gaius and Demetrius? Are you more like Diotrephes? You need to understand that how we behave and how we treat each other and how we support each other is what makes the difference between being unified, which we need to be as we come forth in the next couple months, versus being disunified, right? We cannot be speaking against each other. So in 3 John 13:15, John's final words, I have much more to say to you, but I don't want to write it in pen or ink, for I hope to see you soon. And then we'll talk face to face. Peace be with you. Your friends here send you their greetings. Please give your personal greetings to each of our friends there. I don't know about you, but letters are kind of a lost art. We now see like texts and emails and all that. For me, I'd rather speak face to face. And I think that's exactly what John's saying here as well. So let me in close talk to you about Romans 6:12-23. Do not let sin control the way you live. Do not give in to the sinful desires. Do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, give yourself completely to God, for you were dead, but now you have new life. So use your whole body as an instrument to what is right for the glory of God. With that, I want you to think about what we talked about in the beginning. You need to take care of your physical health. If you're going to serve God, you need to be at your very best. You need to make sure you're getting the rest that you need, you're feeding your body properly, and you're getting the exercise you need. Because as some of us learn, if you don't, you can't do anything for anybody else. So please really, really take note to that. And remembering to take care of your spiritual health. Spend time with God. Shut down the world. Shut down the chaos. Spend time in God's word. Spend time with him in meditation and prayer. And make sure that you're learning and growing. Can't stay stagnant, because we won't grow as a church. And we can't, you know, honor God if we don't do what he calls us to do. Right? He gave each and every one of us talents. We need to know what they are. And we need to go forth and honor him. So, with that said, the way to get started is to quit talking about it and let's begin doing. And that's from Walt Disney, not from me. Lord God, we thank you. We thank you for the examples you give us, Lord. The letters that John wrote, they were personal. We thank you, Lord, because the examples of what we should be in Gaius and Demetrius show us, and so many others in scripture if we go in there and look. But there are so many others that show us what we should not be. Lord, and we just don't want that in our church. We want a unified church as we go through a transition. We want, Lord, to support each other and speak highly of one another and make sure that we are acting godly so that way our character is not in question. Lord God, we ask that you guide each and every one of us to make sure that we take care of this body, the temple where the Spirit lives, to make sure that we go forth and we are able to service you in any aspect that you ask us to. Lord, we also ask that you help us, because sometimes we get busy, to make sure we're not so busy that we don't take care of our spiritual health and spend time building our relationship with you. We praise you, Lord, because you loved us so much that you gave your only son for us. It is not a lot for us to be able to take care of ourselves in body and in spirit so that we can serve you. You don't ask for much from us, Lord, and you guide us and help us to do that. So help us, Lord, as we leave here today to make sure that we honor you in all we do by bringing people into our homes, into our lives, into our church, and treating them the way you call us to. In Jesus' name I pray.